Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Oh, good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. With Carl and Linda Bott, it's Friday, the 7th of May, 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Lot to talk about this morning.
Lots to go, Jared. Jared's at the helm. And what day is today besides Friday the 7th?
Military Spouse Appreciation Day.
Well, thank you.
You need that, Linda, because even though I wasn't in the military when we met.
You're always in the military.
I was in the military when we met, but then I got out. And
you never get out.
I know. It must be like being married to somebody in the military.
Yes.
Except I'm not leaving every 30,
We wouldn't be married if you were.
No,
but
that's true.
And that was the deal when we met. So, how about as a wife of somebody who was former military, because any of the women listening who have had a military father, military brother, military husband knows that it remains in your blood, your body forever. It's if you were once, something that you did that was ingrained in your system, once a cowboy, always a cowboy, correct? All right. So anyway, let's talk about the weather. Sunny with a high of 81 today, overnight lows of 52. Tomorrow calls for a beautiful day, Saturday 86, and Sunday Mother's Day 84, Monday 89, Tuesday 94. Water them plants. Weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned, operated, senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. And now we're going to go to the phones. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Our Haven, you Maine guy.
That's me.
Pet of the week guy.
Hey, Jim. It's
time to get in here.
It's time
okay.
to start coming in.
I know. Amy's going to call you guys next week and see about coming back. She's taking over once we're
you can come in.
On a regular schedule.
Jim, you're the only people that don't come in. Everybody comes in.
An abundance of caution.
We've been vaccinated.
Okay.
I don't know about everywhere else you go to.
Yeah.
But
all right, let's hear about
it. Within the next couple weeks.
Okay. Well, wonderful.
Yeah.
So who do we have on the list today that you specifically picked out to highlight?
I picked Freckles. She is a 7-year-old Australian cattle dog mix, just a really beautiful dog. If anyone knows anything about cattle dogs, incredibly smart, incredibly active, looking for a job to do. So just a perfect dog for someone with that mindset who's ready to go out and have some fun with their dog.
These dogs are great dogs, but you're right, they need a job. They're high energy, but Freckles is 7, though, right?
Freckles is 7, but she still has lots of life and still lots of energy. So, she'll be around for a little while and still give you a run for your money. Give her 3 or 4 more years, and she'll probably start slowing down. But
you can get one of those automatic throwing machines for a tennis balls.
That would be fun for her. I've seen stuff where people give they need a job. They're bred for. Herding cattle and stuff like that, but I've seen people who live in cities and they just train them to go get the newspaper, come with you when you get the mail, and that kind of stuff. And they, as long as they feel like they're doing a job for their family, then they can stay pretty engaged and happy. But they don't want to be left alone to do their own thing, because they will figure out something to do.
Yeah,
sometimes not what you want them to do.
Exactly.
So if you've got a good sized yard, or if you go out every day, or you want they're affectionate dogs. They just need a job, like you said. Okay, so Freckles is available.
Yes, she is. Yep. And right now we are doing today and tomorrow. We're working with the Bissell Pet Foundation. We're doing the Empty the Shelter event. We still have 4 or 5 more appointment slots open for that. But every dog and cat in the shelter is only $10 to go home. Thanks to the Bissell Pet Foundation sponsoring all those adoption fees.
That's wonderful. And that's a yearly event, isn't it, Jim?
Yes, and in fact, it's probably going to happen a couple more times this year. It's been so successful that the Bissell Foundation has been.
This is the vacuum cleaner people, right, Bissell?
Yes, exactly. It's like their charitable organization. So it's not the company itself, but it is the founder of Bissell, Kathy Bissell, also started this foundation for pets.
That's great. That's great. So now you can come in, if I understand this right, make a call, come in, look at Freckles, and it's free.
$10.
$10. Okay.
But basically, you're just paying for the license for a dog.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's
and she's been chipped and all these things.
Oh, yeah. She's all ready to walk out the door today. Yeah. She's chipped, rabies vaccines, all their other vaccines, spayed, and just ready to go.
Linda looked at me, and I said, I just looked back at her. No. We're not going to be home today. We cannot bring home a herding dog and then leave. No.
Right.
Even though it sounds, because we love that breed, but I do believe that that's the kind of breed that you have to invest a lot of time. And like you said, our neighbors across the street have cattle. So this would be a perfect kind of dog for them where they, live in a house in a neighborhood, but they throw their dogs in the back of their, Toyota or their truck. And they go out and they herd their cattle and they ride their horses and that kind of thing. So anyway, all right, Jim. And also remember the people, they do background checks. I mean, they do find out where you live and how you live before you do get a chance.
Okay, Jim,
not background checks, but they check on homes to make sure that people aren't just.
Yeah, it's all interview based. So we're going based on trust. But yeah, we do ask you a bunch of questions and make sure that. You're getting the right dog for your family.
But you're not running social security numbers or anything like that.
right. No.
Okay.
We're just making sure you're going home with a dog that's going to be a good fit for you, so they don't get returned. And you know, most of the time, like we want a fenced yard, and especially if you live in a high traffic area, just to protect the animal. So.
Okay. But, all right.
And then one more thing, while I got your listeners' ear, is we do have coming up in July is the Putt for Paws golf tournament. Still spots available there. You can join as a team of four, or if you just purchase an individual ticket, then we'll put you with some other individual ticket buyers and make sure everyone has a team of four. So that's July 9th. Head to havenhumane.org for more information on that. But it should be fun. Let people get out of the house.
All right, thank you.
You know
so
what?
Much,
that's
Jim.
Going to be a great time. It always is.
It is.
And, you know, it's down at Riverview.
Yeah,
it's Riverview. And, and I hope nobody takes the opportunity to join where I usually hit my golf balls off the first tee. And there's a little spot down there. It's called Bott's Grotto, where it's on the left-hand side, right in the river there. But if you're looking for new golf balls, just head on down there. There's a little stack of them in there. It's not a game for me unless I can hit one right there in the river.
Well, yeah, it's a satisfying splash, you know?
It is. You know, I watch it. Everybody goes, oh, you know, because it starts off good. And then it starts, oh, it's like it hits a bird in midair, and it goes 90 degrees to the left. So, okay, Jim, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
No problem.
Hey, Freckles, good luck, Freckles. I think Freckles is going to go quick.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, look, we're going to take a quick break here. Linda.
Well, first of all.
Last night.
Well, I want to talk about that. I went into the Sleep Number store yesterday.
Oh, okay.
You know, they'll make special appointments outside of the hours. They're like from 11 to 6. So I went in, and Steve was there, who is amazing, and he's the one who helped us with our M8. And because I'm trying to figure out how to do, you know, like there was something that we pressed on the computer for our iRest and our IQ, Rest IQ, Sleep Number IQ, actually, where you pair up with your bed and you can find out how you've been sleeping through the night and what the percentage is and what at 2 o'clock or at 4 o'clock or what, you know, this kind of thing. And, he was so absolutely helpful. He is amazing, and I wanted to cheer him on because he, there's a psychology behind somebody going into the Sleep Number store, laying on a bed, and feeling like, okay, it would be like if you drive a car, don't you want to test drive it? So you can go in and literally test drive your mattress, like, sleep, lay on this one, let them tell you about the features, try that. Don't be
like
afraid about it. Your side, your back, what kind of sleeper you are. He'll bring, make sure, and they're definitely, They spray everything down so it's clean for pillows that have super cases on them and stuff like that. That you can find out these different pillows. It's like a science about whether it's on your side or on your belly or on your back or whatever it is. And it's just a remarkable thing to see somebody who's so infectious about what the product that they're involved in.
Well, you know, and of course Sleep Number gives you the ability to change the firmness of your bed. My Sleep Number setting, and our new bed is 45.
And mine's 35. My Sleep Number setting is 35. And when you go in and you purchase a mattress, there's a 100-day guarantee return. If you sleep on this bed and go, oh, I'm just not sure about this. You know, they say, please wait 2 weeks to see how your body adjusts to it. It's 100 days. That's an amazing thing to me. That's a big selling aspect for me.
Plus the guarantee on the bed. But don't miss this. Don't miss their weekend special. Save up to $1,200 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds and adjustable bases plus special financing. This ends Monday. Now, that's subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See sleepnumber.com for details. Go over to the Target Shopping Center and go to our Sleep Number store. 7:15 in the morning here on Friday the 7th, and we'll be right back.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR. Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody!
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. It's Friday, hey, 7:20 in the morning, and phone lines here are 605-4567.
I just wanted to remind everybody that there is a fire weather watch warning. That's like a red flag warning, because we do, as you can see, when you walk outside today, there will be gusts up to 21 miles per hour, and it will be 81 today, but we absolutely have gusts, and tomorrow we have gusts up to 22. We just are going through a windy time. Sunday looks like gusts up to 24 miles per hour. That is the prediction here, and watch out for the fire weather watch.
Sparks. If you're cutting grass and all that.
Maybe not. Maybe don't.
Yeah, maybe not. Hey, somebody asked me if we want to talk about this Nathan Blaze and Carlos Zapata thing. Yeah, I was going to do that. I had it, you know, set up. The Record Searchlight has the article in it. I've been reading it, things. I think most people know that Carlos Zapata is the one of the main leaders of the recall movement. Stood up in the meeting that time and said, hey, you know, we've had it, you know, it's enough of this. Since then, recall movement has exploded. The Red, White, and Blue documentary, two other organizations, I'm not, you know, and I'm personally not sure if all three of these, of the organizations don't have the same people in the organizations. I would be surprised if they didn't. But they are not linked. They're not specifically linked to each other. Okay. So there's a guy in town, Nathan Blaze, who is a chef, who is against the recall and has stood up against the recall. But he's also made parodies.
Video parodies.
Video parodies of Carlos Zapata. And they're not nice, but they're not.
It'd be like if you watch Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live does parodies.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, it appears, in things I've read, that they don't get along very well. Now, the and on Donnie Chamberlain's News Cafe, and Donnie would be the first one to admit that she has really been going, ever since COVID started, she's been going against people who are not masking, people who are, you know, not playing by the quote, I'm saying quote, rules. She's raked the sheriff and the chief of police over the coals because they didn't issue citations. You know, and this isn't the whole thing about the News Cafe, but this has been significant. And so, yesterday or the day before yesterday, she had written something about Nathan Blaze being assaulted by Carlos Zapata. And when you read it, apparently what happened was that Blaze works in a restaurant that Zapata and I believe his wife went to. And somewhere along in there it resulted, according to Blaze, that Zapata confronted him and threw a glass of liquid on him. And then when he went back to work in the kitchen, because he's a chef, that when he was standing at the doors, and according to him, they tried to pull him out, and then he was assaulted. Now, he said Zapata was there. He didn't say Zapata was the one that hit him, but two of the people with Zapata. And so when you read this, you know, you think, oh, well, you know, again, there's two sides of the story. Dave Binda did a good story on this, I think. He said he, you know, did a story, and essentially what happened is what happened before and after the drink was thrown or disputed. And Zapata said, yeah, I did throw a drink on him. And he said that Blaze had come out to his where he was eating, had gotten close to him, and
don't you think that's assault? If somebody was holding their space, Carl. If somebody's holding your space, why is it the chef or somebody who's part of the restaurant can't come out to the table?
Well, just listen to the whole story.
Okay, all right.
I mean, you're like...
I'm jumping
like,
right in.
Yeah, like 95% of people, you just, you know...
But throwing
and
a drink
you
in
are
someone's
royal,
face.
You are the royal you, in other words. Everybody, oh no, there's two sides to the story here, and we try to do that. And he Blaise said he just came, he sat at the bar, and he threw a drink at him. And then Zapata said he was provoked. He said he was trying to have dinner with his wife, and Blaise wouldn't leave them alone and got too close to them. So I took my drink and splashed it on him. My wife and I left the restaurant, and apparently he had an altercation with somebody else who I don't know. Now, Blaise says it was Zapata and two other people. Zapata is saying, no, it wasn't. Blaise says there's a video of this. Anyway, the police are investigating this, and Leonard Bodie reached out to Nathan Blaise and said that he just wanted to make sure. Oh, by the way, Blaise said he'd been injured. It was on his Facebook post that was in News Cafe, and he had a mark above his eye, and he said he went to the hospital and was seen. I believe that's what it said. Now, of course, Blaise and Zapata know each other because of this recall movement. Anyway, Leonard Modi reached out to him, and said, he wanted to make sure that, as Modi says, I was concerned for his safety and I wanted to reach out and make sure he was okay. I wanted to make sure I could answer if he had any questions on how to report something and how to do it. Modi said talks of threats against anti-recall supporters was on his mind when he spoke to Blaise. Now, there have been threats made by the recall people against other people who are against it. There have been. I've seen them. Not from Melissa McEwen, not from other people. Melissa McEwen has said very clearly, that's wrong. Violence or provoking violence. On the other hand, and people don't realize this, that the other side also, ranging from Patrick Jones to the Raposas to other people, have had death threats against them, and those have been reported. Folks, this is getting out of hand. This is just a bunch of BS. If you want to recall supervisors, we can do that. You can do that. You can organize. You can get people out there.
We as a people.
We
as a people.
And
is what
on
you're
the
saying.
Other side, and like I said, I've seen their threats. They are some of the things said are just horrible. And if you disagree with them on the recall or anything, it's Attack City. So, we don't need this. Either side doesn't need this. The Shasta Forward Group, we don't want to give our names because we're afraid we're going to be, people are going to hunt us down. I mean, the FBI's in this. I mean,
scary.
Police are in this. I mean, there is no place for this in Reading. We are not like that.
Well, what the...
Either side.
We... meaning Carl and I, and this station, our mission statement and where what we started, where we invested in this radio station.
In the
we
community.
Are in this community, and we have to remain neutral. That means for candidates. That means for political stances. I mean, when we're having dinner with friends, we can talk about how we feel. But on the station, we need to hear all voices. This represents our community. But what we're experiencing right now is a lot of hypocrisy. Can I just say it? On both sides.
Yeah, people
saying
one thing.
Makes us at nighttime feel like the air has been let out.
Well...
uncertain circumstances.
Uncertain circumstances.
And how people can say, we need to share, we need to talk, but yet, well, we can't go there or hang out with those people or talk to those people or be on you're too conservative. People aren't going to understand. Are you kidding? That's hypocrisy. That's like, be a part of the community, but only on my side.
The comment here in the chat room, there's a long history of Nathan Blaise and Carlos. Carlos is not the lead in the recall group, but it's Alyssa McEwen. Okay. I'll
All righty.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you for the clarification.
To say there is evidence of Nathan fabricating in BLM movement a long time ago. So what I'm going to say about that is, again,
this is in the chat
both
pack.
Sides, yes, chat pack. This is both sides. They act like a bunch of disobedient teenagers.
Well, we're going to have to take a break.
Yeah, we are. But here's what Linda's getting at. What I'm trying to do is we want to make this show a safe place for people to come in, no matter what your viewpoint is. Would I love to have Nathan and Carlos sitting here across from us during the show with, and I'll sit here with a fire extinguisher to spray either or both of them, so they can discuss this.
And we want to clarify that the shows that we have on the weekends, all shows, is that, people come in, we've created a platform where your voices, whether it's to the left, conservative, not conservative, it shakes people up. And so they align what our mission statement was, is to create a platform for the community. And right now the community is really at odds on a couple things. And so you're going to hear some shows that are for, some shows that are against, and vice versa. And that's not going to happen on our show. Well, there's a couple things we'll make complete stance on our belief system.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess
going back to this, okay, it's, there's right now it's been saying, I know where you live and I know what your dog's name is. And it's progressed to the next step, according to Blaze, that he was assaulted.
Now, we'll further investigate.
But the police are in the middle of this.
Right.
And I know that Captain Bill Schuller, Chief Bill Schuller, is not going to let things get out of hand.
Right.
He's going to make sure things don't get out of hand. And you know what, people? Take a deep breath. And if you're associated with either of these groups, take a deep breath. Take a step back. Fight like hell for your civic, for your civic rights, for your constitutional rights. But there doesn't, the other side is not the British. You don't need to start violence here. We're neighbors, for God's sake.
All right, coming up, we have the grand jury, folks from the grand jury. They're still looking for people. We're going to hear all about that coming up after these breaks here on KCNR. Good morning on this Friday, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. This portion of the show has been brought to you by
Chest Regional Medical Center, and their emergency room is set up so when the supporters of both sides get together in the streets and start fighting, their emergency room is there to take care of you. Okay, tongue in cheek. But Shasta Regional Medical Center is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals recognized by the Watson Health Institute. They've got the Da Vinci surgical robotic system, and they are a proud supporter of Downtown Reading, sponsoring many downtown-focused events, encouraging our community to shop local. That Shasta Regional Medical Center, healing starts here. 7:32 in the morning, we'll be right back.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the only bed that effortlessly adjusts and responds to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Save up to $1,200 on select Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds and adjustable bases, plus special financing. Ends Monday. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
spring savings now at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Buy 5 car wash coupons and get one free, or buy 10 and get 3 free. Spring on over for savings at Quick and Clean Car Wash. Car wash coupons are a great gift, or for your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash, next to Dutch Bros at the corner of Market and Eureka Way, downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Albee from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Welcome to our morning show here on KCNR on this beautiful Friday. My goodness, it's the 7th. We hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day weekend coming up. I know my mom, we kind of celebrate Mother's Day and my mom's birthday. She's turning 88, and she is this spry and wonderful. She just is a lot of, she's a blast to be around. Anyway, by the way, Fire Weather Watch, it will be sunny today with a high of 81, but we will have gusts today, tomorrow, and Sunday, up to 21, 22, 24. That is the guesstimation on 24. I call it guesstimation. It's the National Weather Service saying gusts will get up to 24 miles per hour. So we thought about that yesterday. My God, we had to tie some trees down. And so just be informed. Anyway,
this portion of the show brought to you by John Bastiani of Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms, located right downtown at 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading, is a consummate professional. He is just one of the finest gunsmiths around, first of all. And he, like everybody else, is fighting like crazy to make sure he has firearms and ammunition available for his customers, and he does many of the times. Now, if you give him a call at 222-8222 and set up an appointment there, John's usually there, but like everybody else, it's difficult to find employees right now, where people can get as much from unemployment as they would working. It's difficult for people to find employees. I'm going to come back. But John's there, and if you give him a call at 222-8222, send an appointment. That way you can just walk in and see everything he has. This is the only place Linda and I have bought a gun, is Bastiani Arms. Okay, we're here with the grand jury. Are we being investigated?
No. Not that I'm aware of.
I mean, I'm just wondering. I mean, we're here with Will Arthur and Jim Barrett, and I know Jim, and I would have thought, Jim, that you would have like at least warned us. I mean, are we being deposed today?
No.
Okay. Oh, wouldn't that be, hey, you're served. Question, Do people know why you're asking that question? I'm just going to jump in here because I kind of do that. Gentlemen, when people are being investigated, do they know? Are they told ahead of time? Or is it just you kind of investigate on the down low?
Well, usually it starts not with an individual.
Go ahead.
It, you know, we actually go into, you know, basically districts or...
That's good.
And
you go into districts.
Right. And if they're part of a different department or something like that, it would actually be part of the department. And then it, during that investigation, if it comes out to be an individual that's been singled out, then that, you know, that might get handed over to our county council or district attorney. So it's not that they're actually informed. It's just that there's investigation in the department. And then if that comes out that, you know, some one of the individuals are doing something, then, yeah. It's followed up on.
So each year, the grand jury is always, and something that you're trying to shine a light on this morning, from what I understand, is you're looking for people to dedicate a moment, a slew or string or a block of time to be on the grand jury.
That's correct. And we're the grand jury essentially... serves a one-year term, and so at the end of 1 year, then most people don't continue that service. So it's a volunteer position for a year at a time. There is some capability for some people to hold over for another year if they wish to do that. But most people get their time in and get to learn so much about their community. And what the grand jury does is investigates government. And we're, for lack of a better word, the watchdogs over county, city, or special district government. And it's been, this is my first association with the grand jury, and it's been very, very rewarding.
So you have, did you serve the year, or you're in it now?
I'm currently in the year.
Okay.
So we have until, we have until the end of June, potentially. It may go a little bit longer, depending on our recruitment.
And so your recruitment right now will be, how does one go about going to give a year's time or whatever? You know,
how do you sign up?
How do you sign up? But I'm a visual person, so I want to see walk me through it.
Well, essentially, you want to go to the Shasta County Grand Jury website.
Okay.
And you can go there, and it'll explain the whole process to you. You fill out an application, and it goes to partially to the Shasta County Grand Jury Association, and they do some interviews and what have you. And then eventually it ends up with the presiding judge, who the grand jury, we are members of the court for that 1 year time period, and so we respond to and take our direction from the presiding judge.
So both the grand jury website and the Shasta County Grand Jury Association have a link to the application. So if you went to either one of those websites, you can sign up, you know, by downloading the form or filling the form out online.
How did you personally decide that you were going to say, okay, I'm going to serve. I'm excited to be selected. First of all, you have to be selected, right?
Right.
You're not just anybody can just walk in and say, hey, you have to do a little bit of a background check, make sure that there's no conflicts of what?
Interest, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I moved to Shasta County about 4 years ago, and I came here, and I didn't know a whole lot about Shasta County. I saw the advertisement for the grand jury, and I said, that'd probably be a good way to find out how things go in, you know, Shasta County. That's why I signed up.
Where'd you come from?
Came from L.A., Los Angeles.
What part?
Actually, Corona, which is right on the, you know, edge of Orange County.
Right.
And the border.
Right.
So I
big change.
Yeah, I drove that 91 freeway every day.
Big change.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, well, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, we love it here. We decided we're going to stay.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break when we come back, because I'm going to talk to you about things I've noticed about the grand jury. One is when we say it is time. It does take time, depending on the committees you get in. So, you know, people need to understand if they think they're just going to come in there for maybe a couple hours a day, that's not necessarily true. On the other hand, you do have a big sense of accomplishment and assisting the community at the end of it.
And I would think a body of work that you're involved with that I think would be something that would be of pride to say, I served on the grand jury. It took a year. I was really involved. I learned so much, expanded my brain. I got underneath the soil of just and how people work. Okay, this portion of the show brought to you by
Cornerstone Community Bank, community-oriented, community-dedicated, a team of dedicated professionals. They are a community bank. That's what their charter is. Local board of directors, local management here. They three branches that you can go down and be helped at any of the branches. One in Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way. Another right downtown here at 1845 California Street. One in the Cobblestone Shopping Center at 192 Hartnell Avenue. That's the main branch. Through all of this, they've been moving local dreams forward. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back with the grand jury.
Sports Cards, locally owned and operated at 1620 East Cypress Avenue across from Hill Collision Center, is your home base for trading cards and signed sports memorabilia with modern and vintage sports cards and collectibles. Compass Sports Cards features baseball, basketball, football cards, and is the largest supplier of non-sports Pokemon cards. Buy, sell, or trade with Compass Sports Cards, open from 11 to 6 Monday through Saturday. Do you have a collection? Have it appraised at Compass Sports Cards before or after hours at 1620 East Cypress Avenue. Call 355-2016 or stop by today and check us out on Facebook. Compass Sports Cards.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Radiant Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Radiant Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
And good morning and welcome back to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're here with the folks from the grand jury. We're still looking for people, but this portion of the show and this portion of the show is brought to you by a wonderful community member, Jeff, owner of Crackmaster Windshield and Repair. He knows the ins and outs of proper windshield repair. Now, you guys, he can fix a crack. And I know last time we were driving down to Sacramento around the Mother's Day holiday, a rock came up in the windshield, and you know he can do chips to a quarter size and cracks up to 24 inches. So he is amazing. You don't have to replace your windshield, really. I think that Jeff from Crackmaster, located on South Market, give him a call at 241-8373. So again, we're here with the grand jury, and we do have a caller. Richard, do you have a question for our guest?
Good morning. I have a comment and a question. You may not know the answer to this question, so something maybe to think about for the research. But my comment is, the grand jury in its original form is a very important check and balance. Unfortunately, in Chaff County, they don't do a whole lot of meat and potatoes investigating, and that's unfortunate. And the question the last part of my comment. I was reading the California Constitution again recently, and there's verbiage in there that alludes to the fact that counties can actually impanel more than one grand jury. So, wow, I think if we get our county back, I think that's a great idea. Well, let's impanel a second grand jury that does nothing but do actual government investigations with criminal charge referrals. So here's my question for the guest. When was the last time Cass County grand jury actually has referred criminal charges either to a citizen or a government official? So thank you so much.
Okay, Richard, that was who would like to reply? Thank you.
Okay, Richard. There are, you know, what people know on grand jury, you hear there's a civic grand jury and there's a criminal grand jury. The grand jury that's impaneled here in Shasta County is actually a civic grand jury, but if the district attorney prefers, they could actually call in the grand jury, the same grand jury, for a criminal case, just to determine whether the person or people will be indicted. As far as having two grand juries, that's one of the reasons we're here right now. We're trying to recruit folks. We want the word to get out that, you know, people do their civic, you know, duties and go work on the grand jury. I'm actually, you know, looking at people from new people and probably former grand jurors if they could come out now and, you know, sign back up, do another year or so.
Okay. The tell us about the the grand jury gets complaints. This is one of the questions is.
In our chat pack.
What kind of complaints does a grand jury take, and there's a process on how to do it?
Well, we, as a body, decide whether or not a complaint is something that falls within our purview. So it takes a supermajority, in other words, 12 members of the grand jury, to accept a complaint and say, okay, we're going to do an investigation. It then goes to a committee. And there are several committees, nine committees within the grand jury that would investigate it. As an example, if there was a complaint against something revolving around a city government, then it goes to the city committee. And these are people who haven't expressed an interest to be involved on that committee and will therefore investigate whatever the complaint is.
I have noticed in the past that the grand jury has done a lot of work on something that goes directly to the board of supervisors or the city council. And after they look at it, they come back and they say, we don't agree with it. I mean, this is after 6 months of work. You send it in.
Right.
Nah, we don't agree with that.
Well, they do have that option.
Well, what happens after that? Well, no, I've seen that happen.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Or their statistics are, you know, the way they're looking at their statistics is different than we look at ours and all that stuff, information. What happens then?
So our best hope is that they take this seriously, and we do make recommendations based on our investigations.
Yeah.
And from what I've seen, most of the recommendations are acted upon. But occasionally, and they do have the right to say, we can't afford to do this. We don't think it's, you know, germane to what our operation is. And they do have that right to kind of beg out of a question or
okay.
a recommendation.
You know, because now one of the rules, I believe, of the grand jury is you can't have a dog in a fight in something that you're investigating.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, it's we have to maintain that. We have to be apart from what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, in other words, I think one of the, this was several years ago, they found out after like 4 months that one of the members of that unit, that cohort, had a personal interest in this.
Right.
And they just threw away 4 months of work.
We asked the members of the grand jury to recuse themselves if there's a conflict of interest. And for the most part, I believe that at least the grand jury that I'm involved with, which is the current grand jury, I mean, they've been very, very good about that. We've had a lot of discussion with trainers as to what recuse, when you should recuse yourself. And so they have been on top of that.
Okay, so average hours. I mean, is this kind of like a full-time job?
The average hours are at least 15 to 20 hours a week as advertised, but sometimes it could be a lot more than that.
Okay.
I mean, investigations take time. When you open an investigation to something, you want to be as thorough as you possibly can. And there will be times where you're meeting as a group with the grand jury or you're meeting in your committee. So the committees meet a lot more than the actual whole grand jury. You used to meet, you know, like twice a month or something like that, three times a month if we had to.
Okay. I would think that in this particular situation that you would really create friendships that would be long-lasting with the kind of time, maybe somebody who doesn't even, you would never associate, really, and I don't want to say associate with, or maybe never socialize with. And then all of a sudden, like, you get to know this person through this work of investigating and spending so much time that you would be like, you know, it's like a brotherhood.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what, the way the dynamic is that you're taking 19 people that don't know each other, and you're creating a cohesive group that will be willing and excited about working together. And so that's one of the challenges of the grand jury, is taking these folks and everybody comes together. And it's an amazing process to watch. This year we had some issues because of COVID. And it became a little bit more difficult than normal. But
had to meet at the park.
You know what? And here's the thing. If you've got time, maybe you're retired. Maybe you know, you've got the time at the type of job now that you know, work at
like
home.
Like Sir Will,
make your own type of hours and everything. A grand jury is a necessity for a community, and it's something where you're giving back. Like Linda says, you're right there at the level where you can have an effect. So, again, how do they get a hold of, okay, so I want to join the grand jury. I would immediately be disqualified, I'm sure, for several reasons. But how do I join the grand jury?
So you could go on the website of the Shasta Grand Jury itself, or you can go on to Shasta Grand Jury Association. Either one of those places, you'll pretty much find out how to, you know, submit an application. You mentioned that, you know, this is open to everybody. Retirees, you know, probably can, or the majority part of the grand jury. There are some folks that have full-time jobs there, but it can be difficult because you have, you know, meetings and interviews that you have to do. So it can be a little bit of a struggle for a person that's working full-time. You know, with a retiree, most of the time is yours to do as you want. So
okay, we have 1 minute left. Each of you, 30 seconds. It's your commercial of why you should join the grand jury.
I think you should join the grand jury because it provides an opportunity for you to learn a lot about your governments and how they work and what they're actually doing. And it allows you that opportunity to say, you know, this is not right, and I think there's a way we can fix a particular problem. And you get to be involved in that process, and it's very, very rewarding.
Perfect. And closing thoughts, 30 seconds.
So in my case, like I said, I wanted to learn more about the county, and a lot of people, when they get on a grand jury, they don't know how many districts and departments that are actually involved in the county. The grand jury doesn't go and investigate every department. They actually go in and select, certain parts of the county or district, or school districts and stuff that they actually look at. So from my perspective, it was very rewarding because I learned a lot about a lot of things that, I probably would not have learned if I wasn't part of the grand jury.
Okay. Thank you. Got to take a break. Be back with Doug LaMalfa.
Yeah, he'll be calling in right after the break. Thank you.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
The number of jobs created last month, far less than economists were expecting.
The Labor Department says fewer jobs were created last month than in March. The unemployment rate ticked up to 6.1% compared to 6% the month before. It's a sign that some businesses are still having a hard time finding workers, even as the country emerges from the pandemic. Many employers complain that several extensions of federal unemployment benefits have proven to be a disincentive for many workers. Job losses were seen in construction, manufacturing, transportation, and warehousing. Bob Agner reporting.
Three people shot and wounded at a middle school in Rigby, Idaho. The accused shooter is a sixth grade girl. One adult and two students were injured. Dr. Michael Lemon says the adult, a school custodian, was treated and released. As for the two youngsters,
one was shot once in an extremity and may require surgery in the future. The second was potentially shot twice, but there were two injuries, one to an upper extremity, one to a lower extremity.
Non-life-threatening injuries, according to Lemon, heard on KIFI-TV. The suspects in custody and charges are pending. An hours-long hostage standoff at a bank in St. Cloud, Minnesota, ended with all five of the hostages released unharmed. Police say a suspect's in custody, a 35-year-old man who is said to have a long criminal record. He was arrested without incident. A federal grand jury has indicted the four former Minneapolis police officers involved in George Floyd's arrest and death, accusing them of willfully violating Floyd's constitutional rights as he was pinned to the pavement, gasping for air. Stocks are higher on Wall Street. The Dow is up 156 points. The NASDAQ, 176 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Seems like just yesterday when I captured my son's first steps or when we recorded his soccer games on VHS tapes. Those moments are gone. But the old home movies and pictures don't need to be. That's why my son created Legacy Box.
That's right, Mom. Over 800,000 families have used Legacy Box to digitally preserve their home movies and photos.
Simply fill Legacy Box with your old camcorder tapes, film, and photos. They will professionally digitize and send them back on DVDs, thumb drive, or the cloud.
With family staying close and Mother's Day around the corner, it's the perfect time to get your Legacy Box and save your family's history. After all, few things are as important as protecting your precious memories. Give your mom a Mother's Day present she'll never forget.
Plus, Legacy Box is offering a 50% discount.
Order your Legacy Box today. Visit legacybox.com/lbox. And for a limited time, get an incredible 50% off your order. This is one of the best discounts we've offered. That's legacybox.com/lbox for 50% off. legacybox.com/lbox.
Britain's governing Conservative Party has won a special election in the north of England, dealing a huge blow to the main opposition Liberal Party, which had held the parliamentary seat since its creation.
For 56 years, Hartlepool has had a Labour MP. The Conservatives are jubilant. It's only the fifth time a governing party has won a by-election from the opposition since the Second World War. The scale of the Conservative victory is striking, and it is psychologically wounding for Labour and Sir Keir Starmer. Hartlepool was once part of its apparently impregnable heartland.
The BBC's Chris Mason. Some households on Taiwan going without running water 2 days a week after a months-long drought dried up the island's reservoirs. Authorities are now drilling extra wells, using military planes to dump cloud-seeding chemicals in hopes of triggering rain. News and analysis at townhall.com. Could be a very bumpy road just around the bend for the nation's auto dealers.
General Motors, Ford, and Jeep have recently seen their best bottom lines in years. But some industry analysts predict a rough ride ahead for their dealers as the global shortage of computer chips catches up with the interruption in production. Shoppers will likely find fewer deals on either new or used vehicles.
That's correspondent Ken Lorman. With coronavirus cases surging to record levels, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi is facing growing pressure to impose a harsh nationwide lockdown amid a debate over whether restrictions imposed by individual states are enough. Many medical experts, opposition leaders, and some of the Supreme Court judges in India suggesting the lockdown seems to be the only option with the virus raging in cities and towns all across the country. Yet on Wall Street, the Dow up 156. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Mundabot. Friday, the 7th of May, 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, courage. Mm-hmm. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts there. Jared's at the helm. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
It is...
what day?
What day? You
well, have... I mentioned Military Spouse Appreciation Day, but also Roast Leg of Lamb Day.
Roast Leg of Lamb
Day? Yeah. Oh, come on.
Space Day.
Space Day. Oh.
Okay, give me some space here. And what? Anything else?
There's a lot of things. Some are kind of weird, but School Lunch Hero Day.
School Lunch. Okay.
Paste Up Day. I'm not even sure what that means.
Paste Up Day. Okay, that's... All right. You know, some of these are kind of funny. Some of them I just wonder.
How do you get that to become national a day of? Who are the people who deem it so? Like, okay, we're going to make it National Reptile Day. All right, what is that? Did the Reptile Association go to the National Make a Day? I don't know. That's curious. I'd like to find out about that. All right, 8:06 in the morning. Good morning, everybody. I have to give you the weather. Fire weather watch, by the way. Sunny with a high of 81, overnight lows of 52. Saturday will be sunny with a high of 86. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low of 56. Sunday, 84. Monday, 89. And Tuesday, 94. Now, in the next 3 days, according to the National Weather Service, we are going to have gusts of winds up to 21, Saturday 22, and Sunday perhaps 24 miles per hour. So that is why maybe don't mow the lawn this weekend, even though, you know, we're going to be celebrating Mother's Day. But just think about that, because there is a fire weather watch. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where they give veteran and senior discounts, 365-3793. Now, last night I had my show on Thursday night, yes, and I had Susan Eastman on, and it was just a wonderful interview, and she is with Stifel Investments, Vice President, and good morning and welcome to the show. What is the market looking like, Susan Eastman?
It's a stocks up day. Woohoo!
Yeah.
The averages are all green this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 141 points at 34,689, and the record high was today at 34,726. The S&P 500 is up 30 points at 4,232. The NASDAQ Composite is positive 166 points at 13,799. The three most actively traded stocks on the New York Stock Exchange: Nokia, positive 27 cents at $5.15. NEO up $1.20, trading at $37.88. AMC Entertainment up 65 cents at $9.65. Retail stocks of local interest, Target up 51 cents, trading at $2.1349. Walmart down 9 cents at $1.4095. Costco up 90 cents at $3.8366. In the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note yield is 1.55%. For commodities, gold is up $16 an ounce at $1,832. Silver down 2 cents at $27 an ounce, and crude oil off 57 cents at $64 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman First Vice President Investment Stifel, Nicholas & Company, member SIPC, and NYSE for KCNR.
Thank you.
Thanks, Susan.
And thank you. Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
Happy Mother's
Happy
Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Hey, talking about the Blaze Zapata thing, and somebody said, well, you're just relying on leftist stuff. Nah, not really. I did reach out to Nathan Blaze. I don't know his phone number, so I messaged him on Facebook. But then again, I think, well, maybe he doesn't know who I am. Maybe he doesn't want to answer. So a lot of times we rely on things that you see in print or with research, and you do try to talk to people. So, but what I surmise from this, Carlos Zapata threw a drink on Blaze, whether he was provoked or not, that'll come out. Then Blaze was assaulted afterwards. If you read what Blaze had said, it wasn't Zapata that assaulted him, but somehow he was associated with it. But that's not been established. So what right now you have is the police investigating he said type thing. I think that's what we made. But our big point was, no, we don't go there. We don't go to violence.
No.
You know, for either side. And to stop, you know, I know where you live. I even know where, or we know where you live, and we even know the name of your dog. What kind of comment is that? But here's some other great comments by our caller, and that's Congressman Doug Lemoff. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, you know what?
Are you on the road? Are you? Where are you in your process of travel?
Motel.
Motel. Oh my gosh. Well, we appreciate you calling in and taking your time, Doug, to kind of fill us in here in the North State of what is happening in Washington, what is happening right now, and do you have a couple? Would you like to start off with a specific topic?
No, why don't you just go with what's on your mind?
Okay, well,
Like to do it.
Okay, somebody has come in with this question. What's going on? Can you give us the background of the consternation with Liz Cheney?
Okay, well, that gets into inside Republican conference stuff, which let me put it this way. It isn't because she voted for impeachment. It isn't because she personally doesn't have use for Trump. It's the way she publicizes all this and continues picking the fights with a situation that the people in the conference have different views on. You know, we have 200 plus Republicans, and there's different people that feel different ways. And when you're in that leadership position, especially the chair, which is the number three slot there, your main focus is supposed to be member services to the other Republican members, helping them with the communications information they need just to be effective, things within the conference to be successful in moving their legislation and building the coalitions inside there. So when you're out there railing on Trump and doing things that many in the conference are going to very strongly disagree with, and then getting on the members within the conference who are doing that, you're not winning friends and you're not effective on that. So it's really a matter of effectiveness as that leadership position, not so much about, she believes this or that about Trump. She has the right to cast that vote how she wanted and even do a little press. But she did press before the vote, which gave the Democrats a cudgel to hit us with on, look, even Liz Cheney, one of your top leaders, agrees with this impeachment thing. So she could have waited till after the vote and made her statement, and even then, I think you need to temper your statement when you're in that leadership position. And I think the impeachment vote was absurd anyway. On the House side, it was being done in December, less than a month left of the term, And I think the basis with which that somehow he was causing sedition and rioting by the speech he made outside down the street from the Capitol.
Right.
You know, I mean, you can criticize if you want, but I've heard a lot more political speeches that are a lot more insightful by a mile of getting people to do things. You know, take Maxine Waters, take any of the squad, any of the others. Well, he's the president. Like, well, okay. But take the words that he said, all right? And the timing with he said them, this stuff is already starting at the Capitol before he's even finished with his speech. So there's a lot of nonsense that's based upon. And so just getting back to the core issue, an impeachment at that point was absurd. It played into the Democrats' hands. You know, I had 10 colleagues that thought it was a good idea anyway, and, you know, I don't quite understand where they thought they were going with that. Other than it was for their own political means or a vote of conscience, whatever. So to wrap that up, Liz, I think, has become someone that most of the membership, a big chunk of the membership, doesn't have confidence in and don't look to her as a source of help or what have you as a leader. So I've supported her when she first ran, and each time as we organized, you know, the conference at the beginning of our term, right?
Yeah.
And I even looked the other way because our vote for that was in December. Let's see, when did we cast that vote? Our leadership vote is immediately after we get elected. That's when that occurs. It's about a week after we go back and get that in place. So her impeachment vote was in December, but you know, I wasn't going to say much about that, you know, although I disagreed with it. But she was making too much press out of it. She's out there picking fights in Twitter with the president on that one. That thing just means, you know, let the president do his own thing, okay, ex-president. Let him do his own thing. She doesn't need to be somehow the conscience of this and also in the leadership position. That's probably why she's not going to be in a leadership position after next Wednesday is my prediction. So there you go.
Okay. So you heard it first here. Well, not really maybe first here, but you heard it first here in Reading from Congressman LaMalfa. Congressman, we need to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back. And, you know, the things that are going on along the border, the continued onslaught of people coming across the border. What are you hearing about that when we get back?
Nothing good.
Well, I'm hoping that you could tell me, oh, yeah, we're getting our arms around that. No, okay. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading, and a great place to go to. Four Winds Jewelry open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back.
Is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this summer. Get a jump start on being transfer ready for a CSU, UC, or four-year university. Or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree from Shasta College. Our summer session offers flexible class times and formats with online and some in-person offerings that easily fit around jobs and family responsibilities. Right now is the perfect time to invest in your future. A degree or certificate from a community college will pay dividends throughout your lifetime with an average annual wage of almost $53,000. And at Shasta College, our industry partners are actively looking to hire qualified candidates from our programs to fill the many positions they have open. Financial aid through grants and scholarships can help you invest in your education without a huge bill when you graduate. Contact a counselor and plan a cool summer of hot classes today. Summer session classes begin June 7th. Achieve more, earn more. Shasta College, www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll today at Shasta College.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Lindabot. 61 degrees out there, 8:19 in the morning, and the 7th of May.
Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash, right down the street here on Market. Spring is over. It's spring on over for the savings. You can get a bunch of cars. Five coupons, get one free, or buy 10 and get 3 free. I know we're going to get our car washed this morning. Beautiful. They do a beautiful job.
They've been around
for years.
100 years.
I don't.
Can
yeah.
you believe that? Okay, on the phone is Congressman Doug LaMalfa, and when we left, for the hook on the other side was border. Have you had an opportunity to go to the border, Congressman?
I've been not this year, not this Biden go around, but I've
yeah.
been down. Well, with President Trump there when we were down in Southern California on that Calexico area, looking at some of the work had been done a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's good work. A lot of the border barrier has been upgrades to existing ones, but I think the approximate number that President Trump was able to, you know, get through over just the Democrats and media and organizations suing, stopping, you know, the whole litany, 450 miles was able to be added or upgraded to the border there. So there's a lot of areas where the border is nothing. It'd be amazing. Except for a few strands of broken down barbed wire along much of our border. It's really a joke. That isn't funny.
I ran drug interdiction missions there years and years ago. And you're right, there are, literally it's like a four-lane dirt highway going across the border on barbed wire. And
we don't have control of it.
Yeah.
I've been to the intake area down south of San Diego. It's called San Ysidro, if I'm correct. Anyway, it's a very, very impressive intake area we have that's many, many lanes that everybody goes through, and we got to go see the background and all that, what the officers and personnel are dealing with there and the technology. It's pretty good. If everybody went across the border and had that, you know, you'd cut out such a high percentage of the problems of the stuff that would get smuggled through or people without authorization, you know. And there's people go back and forth freely to have the paperwork. It's a matter of course, it's like going to work.
Oh, yeah. They live in Mexico, come across the border, or vice versa. Congressman, Biden slipped and called it a crisis, and then, this press corps covered it up. How bad is it? In your opinion?
I think it's unprecedented as to its intensity right now. As each year goes by, the intensity of the possibility of more terrorists and more, you know, we're not just talking people that want to come here and get a job or, you know, which is really what it is. These aren't refugees in the vast majority. These are folks here that are economic, I won't use the word refugee because it's inaccurate, but economic seekers, okay? They want to come get jobs. Okay, that's fine. Do it legally, and we'll determine the number that we want to have come in each year, fully documented. Isn't it better for a human being under these circumstances to be invited in or to at least have the documents to come back and forth freely rather than be loaded into trucks and vans and things like that, like cattle or worse, stacked up there? You've heard some of the stories of these car accidents or people being left because their coyote ditches them.
Yeah.
What is humane about that? So Biden has basically turned on the green light to Central America and, you know, points in Mexico, say, hey, come on, go ahead, brush our border, and then it'll become so overwhelmed that we'll have to just let you in anyway. I do not understand what side they are on. I do not understand what constitution that he swore to uphold when they do this stuff. This should be just highly offensive to any common sense American. Now, we're going to all going to be, you know, by the crazy lefty say, well, that's not compassionate. That's not humane. Well, then, you know, Carl, Linda, we should just completely erase the borders and start sending passenger ships and airlines to anywhere in the world and load them up and bring them here and put them on our programs. because it's not compassionate that anybody anywhere in the world would have something that is not being taken care of by an American program. That's if you want to be absurd about it, then let's go ahead and go full all in, because that's what we have here. How much longer can this country absorb this kind of load when we already have drug problems here? We have people that are in occupations that are, you know, not sustaining a family at a wage that is commensurate with the cost, right? And what, we have costs of doing business. We have costs of everything that make this murder on young families or lower income family budgets, or ones, you know, that are doing their job, doing their trade, whatever. They're getting paid not quite what they hope to when they become full professionals, or, you know, fully timed in their job and construction or whatever. You know, you don't expect that a young man 15 years getting 15 an hour, let's say, when the minimum wage finally kicks in all the way, is going to be trying to raise a family on that. That person needs to, you know, as he or she gets experience in their job, in their trade, they move up the chain, they move up the line, because they are using their education, they use their sense, they're working hard, and they're being responsible and making that employer want to keep them and raise them up the chain, because they're being responsible. They're not going off, you know, being drug heads on the weekend and don't show up on time and all that. So the personal responsibility is a big part of how you achieve in society, and not just expect the government to prop it up for you, forcing people to pay you a minimum wage. Or, you know, you've seen some of these grocery stores and others in Southern California cities. The city council decides we should see them get a hero wage because they've been open during this silly pandemic, that we're going to require them to pay an extra $4 an hour. The freaking city councils decide this, okay? They're deciding what Ralph's or Safeway or whoever should pay their employees during the pandemic. That they're just going to decide, hey, we're going to make them pay hero wages. What does it cost the city? What does it cost the city council member sitting there in their, you know, high stool lording over everybody, that we're just going to, you know, by a wave of the wand, this is what you're going to pay? So guess what happened? Several of the supermarkets have closed in cities like that, and so it's, you know, getting a little harder for people to travel or walk to the market or whatever like that. They're creating what's called food deserts in certain areas. So, you know, government doesn't have the solution on this, and trace it back to the border. Biden and his crew are creating a giant problem for hardworking, law-abiding Americans by having this influx here. It's a horrendous problem. It is a crisis. It's a disaster, I call it, because it's a mess for law enforcement. This at the same time that we're making law enforcement the villain and everything here. We're questioning every single speeding ticket right now, and them trying to do their jobs. So we have a really messed up government at the White House level, at the state level, and you know, the majorities that are in place at every level with the Democrat-run House, 50-50 Senate, and the state legislature. So it is not good right now, and I think people are feeling it with their liberties, being just, you know, even down to how COVID is being administered. Go ahead.
Well, no, obviously, we got a recall on Governor Newsom, and I just saw some really interesting statistics from a bipartisan group that there's a lot more support out there to recall him than a lot of people think. And that's why he's, you know, I think that's why that really got in their attention. But let me move back to another.
Well, let me put a warning out. Let me put a warning out to everybody that is feeling good about that right now. Yeah, hey, it's good. It qualified, okay? 2.1 million signatures were gathered. And the Secretary of State decided to get really diligent about how valid all those signatures were, you know, not like when the mail ballots were going everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And so they kicked out about 400,000 of them as they diligently went through and weeded them out. So it did qualify with a margin of about 200,000 over the needed number, about 220. And so, but there was 600,000 more than the number. So they threw out 400,000 signatures because they decided to be really critical using the microscope and everything, which is fine. That's how it's supposed to happen. but they did not do that across the country with the ballots they were mailing to people that hadn't been voters in that address for many years. And, you know, kind of like this COVID money, these $1,400 checks, I saw an anecdote yesterday where they were mailing them out of country for someone that hadn't lived in that out of country address since the 70s. They got all three checks. I mean, we got problems, man. So getting back to the recall, hey, it qualified, but it would not have qualified had the courts not given the extra 4 months to do so because of COVID. So that was a kind of a wink and a prayer there that it qualified. So that said, this is going to be a hard election to get done. We don't have a clear Republican replacement. If we want to just replace Newsom with another Democrat, I don't know how much that's going to be an upgrade. But Newsom will fight hard. Newsom and his team are already characterizing this election as a bunch of anti-vaxxers, a bunch of seditionists, a bunch of pro-Trumpers, and all that. And that will carry a certain amount with the LA Times and the other press. The unions are going to be all in for tens of millions, even though they get annoyed with Newsom sometimes. There'll be a whole pile of money out there. So what I'm saying to people, you can't relax on this thing if you want to recall this guy. You got to dig down even deeper and convince everybody to vote yes on the recall, and Republicans need to smarten up and pick a candidate. We need to have our own internal primary of some type of convention, because you got John Cox running around with a grizzly bear. You've got Caitlyn Jenner, you know, who, this is going to sound crazy, but the interview I saw, Caitlyn Jenner, made a lot more sense just on positions, just on political positions, than some of the other stuff I'm hearing out there. So we're in a weird way right now because, you know, the guy from San Diego, the mayor down there, you know, I know a lot of people that think he's the best, the favorite, the one to be the most likely, even if you just pick them based on paper, the way political acts would, you know. So I don't have a clear choice of what is going to come along in their place. We don't have a very inspiring candidate so far yet as a Republican. And you better have that, because we had that with Arnold back in 2003, you know. I mean,
yeah, but he got 27. Didn't he get 27% of the vote? Something like that?
That was a higher number than that. I think him and McClintock combined, if I remember, got 61% combined. Tom had about 13, and Arnold had about 49, I think, just short of majority. If I remember correctly. You got to look it up. So that goes back 18 years, man. So anyway.
Okay, Congressman. Let me
So, the Cruz Bustamante, the Democrat replacement, you know, he said, Cruz, he was lieutenant governor at the time, he said, vote no on the recall, but if you vote yes, vote for me, which is a tough position for a Republican or Democrat replacement, but nobody liked him anyway. But this is going to be a hard deal if people don't use every ounce of energy they have to get everybody to vote yes to get recall Newsom and get a Republican replacement. So I'll let you go to your ad, sir.
Oh, no, I'm ready to, I'm going to skip these because I have like three questions here that are coming in from the chat room and things. So, and part of this.
Got Linda left.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm right here.
Hey.
I'm listening.
Hey,
right here.
Part of this is unlike all of our listeners, I would say the vast majority of listeners, I get a press release every week or sometimes twice a week on things that you've been doing. So the question is, what have you been doing for the North State and especially the forest, taking care of the fire danger? And I just saw a press release that, you've jumped into the middle of that one as you have for the past, 8 years. What's going on with that?
Well, we're working bipartisanly to advance legislation to fall on forestry. And, you know, it might be, you know, we have one called the Car Act, which is named after the car fire, to clear along roadways and highways. That fire, remember, was caused by some, you know, poor couple just going along with their travel trailer or some sort of trailer. Tire went flat back there. They didn't notice it and caused sparks. And we got that whole tinderbox going over there west of Reading. And so, I mean, you know, I feel terrible for the couple. They didn't mean anything, but hope they're not getting vilified or whatever.
I don't think so.
And so we, our side, as government, as the rest of the people, weren't ready for that. So I think it might have been in Parks area, or it might have been in I don't know which bin will land it, where it actually started, but the fuels aren't handled, you know, the forest fuels, the brush, everything, in order to have a clearings to come along and be able to knock that fire down quickly. Then you hear anecdotes from folks who might be nearby logging. Let's say, hey, I see a little flare up over here. We've got a dozer and a water truck nearby. I'll use it on their own logging operations. You'll hear from the federal agency, no, do not touch that fire. Because, you know, what they're concerned about over there was archaeological sites. There might be, you know, historic things there. Like, well, guess what? They've all just burned because you guys don't get off your rear ends to get the work done. Forest Service is, and I'm not talking about the good folks at the ground level, you know, the ones out there doing the fires and fighting the fire and trying to do the work, but at the upper echelons, they can't get out of their own tracks. They were more worried last fall about shutting down Mount Shasta around Lake Shasta, where the lake is, you know, down 100 feet. You got the bathtub rig all the way around it, from houseboats being to go out there and get their last shot into the year because there was a fire 80 miles away. Oh, it's too dangerous for the fire. Like, what? It wasn't 2 weeks ago. You know, these guys just make stuff up in their offices down there and tell what people what they can't do. They didn't want to let people in one of the parks up there for what's traditionally an Easter morning service because nobody wanted to go out and open the gate. Oh, COVID. No, these are people going out by themselves. COVID has been used as a tool by so many government agencies to just not do anything, you know. So yeah. Go ahead.
Well, Congressman, it's been bipartisan. It's even in California. We had an article in the paper the other day. I talked to the guy. It's very, very complicated, but it's been 2 years since we've been able to, since we've said, okay, here's the money. We want to clear out areas. Is there a way the federal government can just come in and say, look, let's thin this out? Because a lot of the land is, you know, fed land. Is it going to happen, I guess, because they have already forecast CAL FIRE, and I'm sure you know this, could be the worst fire season ever. And people right now are just, oh, here we go again. And if you look out there, some work has been done, but there's so much more that could be done. What's it going to take?
It's lip service right now, Carl.
Yeah.
You might hear a speech about it, but what is going on is they're proposing, I think in California, 600,000 new acres of wilderness land. I think Biden wants to do a much bigger than number than that in a proposal, but they're also talking about this 30 by 30 plan. They want to have 30% of all federal land be untouchable by the year 2030. They call it this cute 30 by 30 plan. Okay, they always have these nice round numbers of their goals, you know. 30 by 30, and that will increase the number of acres from some giant number now to an even bigger one that will be in a wilderness area or monument. Which, what's wrong with wilderness areas? That sounds nice. Well, what it basically means is that access by people is going to be severely limited. Well, it'll mean biking and leaving. Yeah, well, they have some areas open for that, some areas for off-roading and things, but most of it is going to be cut off. It'll be cut off from forest management. They're going to let the roads that have existed there go back to wild. So if you need firefighting done out there, it's not going to happen. They're trying to keep you out. They keep firefighters out as it is because it might be, if you're running a dozer through there, it'll be an ecological disaster, is according to them. So when they're out there proposing like this, when they're proposing things like 30 by 30, you know they're not going in the direction of more forest management. They'll give you some lip service. Even Gavin Newsom was doing that last year. I hope that they will push forward. He threw a little change into the recent budget about that, but the type of scale we're talking about, we call it pace and scale, it's way short of what we need to be doing to be effective on this. So I'm going to propose bills. They're going to keep pushing bills. We have bipartisan support for the bills right now in the House before they've even gone to committee. You know, so I got a few guys, gals that'll help, you know, Jim Costa, Jimmy Panetta, John Garamendi helps, Mike Thompson's helping on some of this. Some of it has to do with clearing around power lines and making power lines more, what you call hardening them, more resistant towards fire and things like that. Because we're going to have more of these ridiculous power shutoffs because the wind is blowing, not because, you know, you had a giant freeze or a snowstorm that actually knocks power lines down sometimes. Simply because we can't do the work, okay? And we have our utilities are vilified, sometimes partly justified, but a lot of times for issues of not being able to do the work around there, and the fire starts. So they either yelled at for power shutdowns or for starting a fire, and we've seen that when there's a deep pocket involved, then they're going to make the fire totally the fault of the utility and have them come up with billions of more dollars that they have to pay. So, you know.
Congressman, one of our listeners, and I'm going to use his name, Helpful Citizen, has got a solution. For all of the illegals that come across the border, we issue them an axe and a shovel. We organize them into work units, and we bring them up, and they clear the forest.
That's great, but you can't get the permits to get out into the forest.
That's the problem, yeah.
We have people that would be raring to do that on their private lands. It's even hard to get the permits. I ran legislation in California to make it a little easier years ago and had a little level of success with that, but they don't really want you to do it. And so loggers would happily go out there. Look at the price of wood right now. It's ridiculous. Quadrupling, you know, we've all heard the stories, 2x4s, sheets of plywood that are much higher in cost. I hope at least that there's foresters or loggers or somebody making some money at this timeline right now because of it. But, you know, it's probably just going to come down to the middleman. I don't think it usually does. I know this firsthand as a farmer, but it's someone else making the big killing. But that said, we need to rectify that situation, and I'm looking with my colleagues to see what can we do in the short term to get wood to the market and fill this void right now. I would like to have that with a domestically produced, California-produced wood, but are we going to get the permits? Oh, you got to do a NEPA process. You got to do a CEQA. You're talking about fire a minute ago and speed it up. We had the one above Oroville called the Bear Fire before they named it some other north complex where four fires burned together or something. So they were waiting. They had a grant money that had been awarded to them to do work in the Berry Creek, Forbestown area east of Oroville starting in 2018. But the CEQA process, which is about equal to the federal NEPA one, their environmental quality studies, they wasted about 2 years fooling around with that, with the grant sitting there, and then the fire came, and the work never got done, and it burned out a whole bunch of people in the town of Berry Creek and the Forbestown area, a whole bunch of land. And if you want to see something else, you should see the testimony provided by a fellow named Dave Daly, who's one of the high-ups in California cattlemen, longtime family, going back to the 1850s there. The cattle they lost and the wildlife that he saw up there on the land that their family's been five generations on. Just look up Dave Daly and his testimony and his narrative he put out on that if you want to read a tragedy. And this is what keeps continuing happening. And the government we have in charge, you know, we're running bills. We're going to try and chip away at it. But I'll just be straight honest. It's not going to be fast enough, wide enough, pace and scale to really get it done. We're going to suffer big this summer if fires start.
Well, and that's unfortunate.
Until there's a big change in the government attitude and the courts that decide every time. Over there west of here, Mendocino County, big 400,000-acre fire back in, I think it was 2018, they tried to get a permit to do 7,000 acres worth of restoration and replanting and salvage timber starting soon after that fire. Again, here's the numbers, 400,000. They just proposed a 7,000-acre project, which is less than 2% of the whole fire. And after a couple of years, they did all the studies, they got all the stuff done, and some coastal environmental group comes in with a lawsuit. Well, you didn't study for the, you know, purple-legged rat catcher. And so a three-judge panel says, yep, they didn't study well enough for the purple-legged rat catcher. That doesn't really exist, but that's what they sound like, okay? And
it sounded
they
cool.
Shut it down. So 2.5 years later, they're not going to get to...
They still haven't done it
later.
Yet.
They can't even do a puny 7,000 acres of the whole thing. It's all just going to go to heck. I think the Mendocino National Forest in of itself, with the fires, the different layers of fires over maybe 10-year period, I'm told 98% of the land has burned now while they sit there and watch. These people should not be in charge of these lands.
Congressman, we're here with Congressman... We're here with Congressman Doug Moffitt. We do have to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by G.D. Maxwell, Maxwell Insurance and Financial. If you're looking for a second opinion on retirement plans and 401s, give Judy a call. Free review and evaluation. Judy's been helping people, families, seniors, business owners, and veterans since 1993. 221-0441 or stop by 1378 Hilltop Drive. We'll be right back in 2 minutes with Congressman Doug LaMalfa.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the only bed that effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Save up to $1,200 on select Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds and adjustable bases. Plus special financing. Ends Monday. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
The Shasta County Grand Jury application deadline has been extended to May 14th. The Shasta County Grand Jury is a historic institution that investigates and responds to citizen complaints on government issues, ensuring transparency and accountability among local government officials and agencies. Help ensure government transparency. Join today. The deadline has been extended to May 14th, so don't wait. Apply now. Visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org to apply. The deadline is May 14th.
If you don't ask the tough questions, who will?
Welcome back. Good morning. Yes. Go ahead. I'm just going to give a quick update. There is a fire weather watch, and you heard...
what we've been talking about.
Yeah, we've been talking about that, but there is a fire weather watch, and we are going to have gusts up to 21, 22, and 24 miles per hour up into Sunday, Mother's Day. So if you're outside or you want to need to tie a plant down, or think about that as well. It's going to be 81 today, tomorrow 86, and Sunday 84. Just remember, there's a fire weather watch.
And the weather brought to you by?
Shasta Gas Propane, located in Anderson, 365-3793.
We're here with Congressman Doug LaMalfa. And people, if you haven't figured it out yet, you know, a lot of people may not realize this, but Congressman Doug LaMalfa, you know, the tall guy, he goes, aw, shucks, you know, farmer, is a very passionate guy. And, I've noticed that over the years. And, you know, here we are talking fires and the damage it does. And you're back there trying to introduce bills, you are introducing bills to try and help what goes on out here. And then you get into all of the, gosh, what can I say, the bureaucratic blockades that are put in front of everything. But here's a question for you that came out of the chat room. Has Kamala Harris reached out to Congress, to the Republicans at all?
She never did as a senator. I never met her. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I've at least been in the room when Boxer was there, and we've had several very good conversations with Senator Feinstein and my staff and their staff. She was AWOL except for showing off in committee with her little pen in her hand, dressing down Brett Kavanaugh and other things like that. She was a creature of just trying to get headlines and say, oh, look how cool she is. And so I never saw her at anything in the North States other than, well, it doesn't matter, okay?
Right. And I've so just, you know, I've just, that was the question. Has she reached out?
She's, She's been appointed czar of the border and hasn't shown up for that job in 40-plus days. I think I saw on the news she's going to head down there on the first week of June or something like that. So maybe by about the 100-day mark, she'll have made it down to see what she's supposed to be assigned by the Biden administration to look into. So you know how attentive that's going to be. You know how. Anyway, so no, she's pretty much a non-entity other than cackling. I don't look for any leadership from her other than when she forces those binders of executive orders in front of Biden to sign when he starts asking. I haven't read this one yet. You know, we've all seen that. Nothing good coming from there.
Okay, the ATF, and I don't know where we are with this, but the guy that they've nominated to head the ATF is a well-known I shouldn't say anti, but he's very much for restricting the Second Amendment. Should we worry about this guy at the ATF?
Well, I know the senators who are the ones that have the jurisdiction to say over that are going to dig in really hard on this guy. The Republican ones will.
Right.
He's dangerous. But this Biden administration has come through. When you see AOC actually happy and pleasantly surprised at the pace that they're going, you know you've gotten not what you bargained for, because the press will paint Biden as, he's this moderate guy, he just gets along. That's who he used to be. You know, let's take Biden from 10, 12, 15 years ago. You know, he was a senator that could try and get along with people. And probably he's a nice enough guy, I suppose, when I met him, you know, several years ago at the White House. But he's a different guy these days. And he is having a more difficult time, as we all see. And I'm not here to make fun of that. I think that's not nice or right. But he's having a more difficult time. So I think he's signing basically what they'll put in front of him. And he'll put up the nominees for that are being advised by his advisors. He's putting the most extreme things forward. Okay, all this stuff is not his. This is not old Joe, previous Joe Biden. This is the guy who's being governed from the other room and just doing what they say, and hopefully they let him go home at night. You know,
in your opinion, Congressman, what has been the most, the most far-reaching, most impactful, and, you know, harmful maybe even, legislation that President Biden has pushed forward?
It isn't legislation, it's overall policy. And I would say, it might surprise you a little bit, the push on this COVID thing right now, okay? They are coming after basic liberties and your personal rights, the socialists could never have dreamed before. Since this thing came in over a year ago, they're making up massive amounts of ground. Look at these Democrat governor states and the shutdowns and what's going on. People are so frustrated with this now because they see their liberties eroding. Just the FDA, you know, Pfizer just applied to the FDA to move their injection from emergency use authorization status. They want to have full approval now. They're asking FDA for full approval for something that's 5 months old. And that has never been used on a vaccine before, if you want to call it a vaccine. It's never been used. The last time, the emergency use authorization has only been around since, my understanding, since 2004. And that was used for orally taken drugs in order to go up against H1N1 and Zika and some of those things passed, and a very limited basis. Now we have stuff being used by tens of millions of people, and they want to put it in a permanent status. And the way the article read was that so that the pharmaceuticals can market it more easily, and that it'll be easier for those that want to regulate and require these vaccines in order to attend school, or for employers to require them to work, and for being in the military.
You've introduced a bill.
This is the most dangerous stuff I've seen in a long time.
You've introduced a bill to keep things from making people get vaccinated to be able to use fly on airplanes, to go to school, to go to use their work. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have two tiers of bills. One is strictly focused on transportation you know, and the other one is a wider one saying that your employer can't force you to take it. Okay? Well, it's the passports. It's not the, it's the passports themselves, which,
right.
You can't force people to get these passports in order to gain entry or, as you would see in Revelation, to buy or sell.
Yeah.
So, I think, and that really, there's a lot of people that are okay with the injections, but a lot more people draw the line at the passport, saying you have to prove
Linda and I both have been vaccinated, and that was our choice. I don't care if somebody doesn't get vaccinated; that's their choice. But when you draw, when you start doing this passport thing, we will fight that. I refuse to wear something around my neck that says, you know, you need this to get on the plane or something.
Yeah, well, see, one goes hand in hand with the other. This full court press you have for Hollywood and celebrities and politicians to get the vax, it all ties together. And if you don't have it, they're already out there saying shun people that haven't gotten it. You know, so
yeah.
that's a HIPAA violation. That's personal information.
Yep.
And there's people that either, for whatever reason, cannot because of
health reasons,
certain types of allergies,
yeah.
They
religious
might have
reasons,
a lung condition.
Yeah.
They may be fearful of it, maybe against their religion, or it might be just by golly, I'm not taking anything you're forcing me to do as patriots. So you know, this is as I'm saying, there's a lot of dangerous things coming from Biden, but this is maybe kind of a way even predates Biden, and that it's been going on for several months. You know, there was a Herculean effort to get the vaccines going, Operation Warp Speed, but there was never the intent that they'd be forced upon people or that they wouldn't be properly fully vetted and have FDA been able to put them on such a fast forward into the market that they haven't been tested in like the 10 years like most other things have. But these are vaccines. These aren't just, you know, orally taken medicines, and they do things. So I think it's we're in a very dangerous time under this emergency use authorization that they're doing right now, and want to completely morph it over in such a short amount of time. So FDA better be doing their job the way they are supposed to do it, instead of listening to politics. And that's a dangerous thing too, Carl and Linda. Politics has become much more entrenched into this whole process this last year on you know, why isn't hydroxychloroquine, why wasn't that available to people to use that had it and that would help zap it if you've gotten an infection early on? What are the true numbers on infections or deaths? What are the true numbers of people are in the hospital for it or for something else? You know, there's a lot of misinformation.
How many people have antibodies that we don't know about because they've already had COVID and, you know, didn't know it? That's my biggest question is, how many people really have had COVID? We may find out it's millions and millions and millions more than we know. Anyway, Congressman, we've about run out of time. I do have one more question. Are you going to come to the Reading Rodeo? Rodeo week is next week. Got the pancake breakfast on Friday, and it's going to be a whoopee event.
The only chance I would have work week next week back east, and it's Tuesday through Friday. But I'm so happy they're having it. They didn't.
Yeah, they're stood up.
Fit them to the, oh, we can't have it, you know, next year because, you know.
Well, Shasta County has always been kind of like, you know, our sheriff and our chief said, okay, you know, they talked to businesses and businesses could stay open. Now that we lost everything last year, the Red Bluff Roundup's happening, the Cottonwood Rodeo I'm sure is happening, and then the Red Bluff Rodeo. It's time.
It doesn't appear the county's been too friendly towards getting things open up though, so we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, well, this, you know, at some point it's as long as people, and I know that after talking to you as long as I've known you, you know, we can have different opinions. But now it's, you know, it's gotten pretty vicious in there. And I hate to see that happening in our beautiful city. I just hope it stays at words.
Well, government needs to lead and good information and not just put it all in the hands of experts that have only one agenda, too. So, you know, it's... it's you got to be bold in this thing and not just do what's safe.
So
politically,
do you have do you have an official stance on the recalls coming back in here?
Oh, not on that. Just I'm looking at counties and cities all up and down the state here.
Okay.
They all they do is listen to the health officers and do exactly what they say instead of looking at the whole spectrum of what the effects are. You know, people are being psychologically damaged, not just economically, and the schools being closed. That's political there. The teachers' unions on that are just adamant. You ought to see the list of demands they had to L.A. Unified School District to reopen up. Had nothing to do with anything to do with safety or efficacy. They had, you know, climate change stuff they were throwing in there. So we see there's a lot of manipulation of the use of this thing to try and extract other things out of it. So, you know, we have to be bold in this thing and look at the whole picture of what people need, and that isn't just being shut in and sold
I agree.
Like hermits for the next year. You know,
I think most people agree. Congressman, we have to run.
Yeah. Thank you.
I want to thank you again, because once a month, on the first Friday of each month, Congressman Doug LaMalfa comes on our show for an hour, and people get to ask questions and all types of things in here. So thank you so much for coming on, Congressman, and for what you're doing for us.
Yeah, well, we're pretty fired up these days. So you got the full boat today, sir.